What's up, Beast Place? January 5th. All right, so I was looking at like a bunch of TV shows and podcasts, stuff like that. They all do these like best of or year retrospectives. Now, I can't do that because I don't have a staff. And I don't have the hours it would take to actually cut and paste. So I'm just going to do a 2020 retrospective. I'm just going to look back at the year, what happened, and take it from there. As you know, this may end up being a talk on chess, which I've recently gotten into. Okay, so without further ado, last year, January, for New Year's, I visited my buddy Kyung in Denver. It was like a super, super cheap flight. So I'm broke as a joke. But it was like I managed to find a flight for, say, like probably around $200. And then once I got there, we didn't really go out or do anything. So he was just like, dude, we're just going to eat the groceries I have. But there's no real shot. I think he went out and bought some. He drinks a lot. So he had like, I walk in. It was like I showed up, let's say, on a Thursday night. It was New Year's. Friday, we hung out. Friday night, Saturday, or Sunday, I left, whatever. It was like a 3-day weekend. And he had like 4 bottles of liquor, a bunch of wine. And it's Denver, so there was like edibles and smokables. His girlfriend's really into it. And edibles, he's not really that into weed. He's more of a drinker. But we did each have an edible, and we drank and stuff. And it was just like me, him, and his girlfriend, his 16-year-old daughter, who was not part of any of that. And with her, it was just like, she didn't really want to hang out with us too much. It was like, yay, it's midnight, I'm going to go play on my phone kind of deal. But anyway, basically that night, we just stayed up and watched Kim's Convenience. By the way, if you haven't seen it, go watch it. It's like one of the best sitcoms made in the last 20 years, because it's about Koreans and it's mostly not non-white people in it. So it's like the main character is Korean, is a Chinese dude. Actually, the funny thing is it's Korean family, but one of the dudes is Chinese. Actually, one of the actors in that is supposed to be in like the Marvel Universe thing. It was supposed to come out this year, but COVID killed it. Anyway, I think the dude, yeah, so there's 4 of them, like a dad, mom, brother, sister. The brother's Chinese. The mom is not Korean, but I can't remember what. The daughter's Korean. And there's another dude that's their Korean friend that's actually Chinese or Thai. And then there's like an Indian family that's like the secondary characters. So they get like really, they take this made for Canadian TV. They get way, way politically incorrect. By American standards, which have become Victorian level oppressive, like politeness levels that you need to maintain. It's like absolutely insane how uptight we've become. I mean, like, this is a culture that in the 1950s was arresting Lenny Bruce for using like the F word, right? Arresting. He would say some other things too, but I think it's the word specifically. It was being vulgar, obscene, right? Okay. By the 1980s, you could say anything you wanted, right? And I think that the powers that be don't like that. So they're like, we need to bring censorship back. But how are we going to do that? Because we can't just be like, you can't be vulgar, polite. That was the old aristocratic system that was replaced after World War II. So, because in effect, World War II is a victory of, like, I think, international socialism against national socialism against, and the other was, like, Fabian light socialism in America and aristocratic empire in Britain, and aristocratic empire, although it was part of the winning team, lost because they were the least powerful. So, like, really the light Fabian sort of Americana type thing won and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, things got too uptight. So they were like, well, we'll do it this we'll use civil rights as our, we'll use wokeism basically and political correctness to tamp down on people's language, right? Because you still can't really say the F word on TV or on radio, but now you can't say things on cable, right? So anyway, like we hung out. It was cool. I went to Red Rocks. That was hard because it was like, it's like a, we didn't just go to the amphitheater. We did this long hike up to the amphitheater and we're parked like way downhill. And I remember thinking to myself, thank God I've been like working out in some, because like it was not an easy hike for an East Coast person. Anyway, by the way, Red Rocks, which is famous to me because, what's his face? Dave Matthews, which I'm not a huge fan of, did a big deal sort of concert video slash live album live at Red Rocks. And you can see why. It is absolutely gorgeous place. Like, it's a tourist attraction just to walk around it when nothing's happening. For you Maryland people, think Meriwether Post Pavilion, except there's no lawn. It's just seating, and it's not very big. I don't know exactly how many people you'd fit in it, but a couple thousand max. It's small. It's not where Metallica would play. I'm surprised Dave Matthews played there. Let me put it that way, when he did. And then January was just like work and jiu-jitsu. I got an apartment. Yeah, that was awesome. In Atlanta, because what I was doing is I was hoteling around, and I did it from September through December. And in December, I'm like, man, all these cheap, those super cheap hotel rooms. I was staying at the Hilton for like $80 a night. Now I have the silver, whatever point thing, but like, whatever. Anyway, so I'm like, I got to get an apartment. And I found one in Midtown Atlanta, which is a nice neighborhood. A couple blocks over is like one of the gay sections of town. No, I'm not gay, but those parts of town are usually like fun, safe, and like if you're just want to go out and find like a cutesy restaurant, they're gonna have it. And there is a fantastic brunch place, literally open from like 10 to 2 or 3. I think probably maybe even only on the weekends. That's just off the charts, cute and all that. It's clearly a gay owner. Super awesome. Fun time. I went there. I've been there twice for Boozy Brunch Saturday and had a great time both times. Anyway, great food, by the way. It's like I had these like blueberry, I don't know, it was some weird form of French toast and then like an omelet. Anyway, and then of course COVID. So we go, I'm supposed to do 3 weeks in Jacksonville, Florida. And after the end of the middle of the second week is when people are like, oh, this COVID thing, this might be a problem. So we get sent home. I spend a week in Atlanta working and, you know, like just living, right? So Atlanta becomes a ghost town around March 17th or so. I remember it used to take me about like 10, 15 minutes to drive to work. I live like a couple blocks away. Like it was, I never lived there in warm weather, but I was kind of like, oh, you know, I could buy a bike and I could like bike to work. I could walk conceivably, but it's like a half hour walk. The only issue with that is between me and work, if I go in one, so imagine you go in four northwest, south directions, my house, here's what happens. If I go west, gay neighborhood. If I go south, no wait, let me really get this right. South is work, but between me and work is a homeless shelter. And Atlanta has a significant homeless problem, which makes it, I've never been threatened. I've never seen anything go down. I don't know what the stats are on it. Makes me uncomfortable. I don't even like driving by. Two reasons. One, I feel bad. I feel bad for them. I wish I could do something to help them. And two, you know, you got to make sure you don't get their attention. Because if you do, a lot of these people are significant mental illness. And you don't, so it's unpredictable, although rarely do I think there's a lot of violence there? As far as I know, that's south. North is like the gay area. East is like suburbs. So, like, I'm not kidding. The road I'm on, it's clearly like city-ish, but it wouldn't be completely out of tree-lined streets. It's like Queens. Next neighborhood over is like that. It's almost suburban. Almost. It's just smaller yards, basically what it comes down to. It's tree-lined streets, single-family homes, the whole bit. Now, I live in a single-family home that's been cut up into apartments, but whatever. You go west and you hit within a block or two, you're in downtown. It's like I could see a skyscraper from my kitchen and bathroom windows. From my living room window, if I turn my head in my kitchen, I see other giant houses have been turned into apartment complex, whatever. So anyway, that's March. I come and then I move back in with, at the time, we're sort of separated, wife and kids. And that was just a very painful but good sort of like reconnection. I'm hoping that it's kind of work. And then it was just like work from home, and work from home was like reading stuff and doing classes online for months. It was awful. So, and I don't remember anything from there. There was a couple that had tests that I know a little bit more of, but like, dude, I must have taken, I don't know how many hours of classes, and it just, and then it was like the because so many people were using it, like crashed, and I had to fill out paperwork to get credit. And I was like, you know what? I'm not doing that anymore. I'm just going to go read stuff. So I just would sit there and like read all day. 8 hours a day. It was not cool. And yeah, like, you know, let's be honest. Summer, visited my parents. Now, jiu-jitsu opened up right away, and the gyms opened up on like April 24th, I think was the day. And I went right away, started lifting, and then I was like, you know what? I'm going to hold off on doing jiu-jitsu until after I visit my parents, just in case. And I go visit my parents, and I get home. I work out for a week in July. This is like mid-July, late July. Next thing I know, it's late, almost August, and I've got COVID. And I'm just down for a few days. And I'm really like, I really do feel like this has these like lagging effects. Obviously, I'm like a N of one, and God knows what else is going on. But it really felt like just like tired, and I've never been so undriven or unmotivated in my life. And anyway, after that, you know, and then we get back to work. And then I had a really cool kind of experience on Halloween. You know, and I've talked about this. Halloween, you go out, trick-or-treat as a kid, a high school kid, you kind of hang out. It's cool in your 20s and early 30s because, like, basically it's slut night. Or I shouldn't say slut night. It's because it's not that at all. It's dress provocatively night. Be precise in your words. Yes, Mr. Peterson. Dr. Peterson. Dr. Peterson. And so it was like, and then for a while, late 30s, early 40s, before the kids were trick-or-treating age, was like, nothing really. I'm not really going out anymore to, everyone's dressed like a stripper, and I'm not trick-or-treating, and I'm not really even hanging out anymore. It's not like an excuse to party. It's just another day. And then a miracle happened in 2020, and that miracle is I discovered that it's super fun to take your kids trick-or-treating. I had an absolute blast. Every year, I'm going to get a little intoxicated. I did this year. Like, because the trick-or-treating happens between, like, at 5, right? Because the little kids, you want to get them in before it's dark and all that. So, although, again, when I was in Pittsburgh back in the mid-80s, we weren't coming back until 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night. Although, by then, a lot of what would happen is we'd walk in one direction. So, to be fair, we would walk one way till about, like, 8, 7:38 or so, and then have to walk, like, an hour back. You know, we didn't really go in circles. we just go down a road. It's just how this town, this city worked, that you could just do that. And so, and obviously walking back, if you go an hour in one direction to retreating, it's about a half hour back and whatever. So, but we wouldn't get back home until really late, because we would get together at whoever's house and like compare and trade candies, and then finally go home pretty late. But now I discovered that with the kid, you go trick-or-treating. It's awesome. Yeah, like I said, it's 5 o'clock. I was like, 5 o'clock. So I go do jujitsu. I get home. I take a shower. And I'm sitting there, and my wife and a friend are like making margaritas. I'm like, all right, I'll play that game. So I had a couple cocktails. I wasn't drunk. Probably shouldn't drive a car at that moment, but I wasn't drunk. And it was the end of like sober October. So it's kind of like had semi-sober October. So I had a couple drinks, took the kid out, and just had an absolute blast. Segue into Thanksgiving, got back into jiu-jitsu, and then spent another week with my folks. We went to visit them, and, you know, just standard Thanksgiving. It was like so stereotypical. It's sad. Not sad. It's fun. I shouldn't say sad. Sad, I meant like not sad. Turkey, mashed potatoes and gravy. The gravy was phenomenal. Yams, cranberry sauce, which is literally poured out of a can, sliced. Still has, I know a few years my mom would get creative with this stuff and make these like crazy nut infused with fruit and whatnot. That happened a few times, but no one was really into it but me. I just wanted it because I saw it as like the stereotypical American thing to do. And so she just poured out a can, would slice it, put on a plate. And then we had a cornbread, what's it called? It's stuffing if it's in the bird, dressing. That's the difference between the two things. Stuffing is you cook the stuff. It actually goes into the chicken or turkey in this case. Why? It has to do with moisture, and somehow it keeps the chicken and turkey are like dry. They're not high fat, right? It's one of the things like bodybuilders will eat like 18 chicken breasts a day because it's very low fat. So what you do, but without making it dry, if you overcook that thing, by it's not as bad as shrimp, but you can really dry it out. And so, anyway, put that stuff in there, it makes it moister. My mom has done that a few times, but what she does is brines it, basically, and then cooks it, and then flips it upside down. In the middle of cooking it, she actually takes it out. And we got the smallest turkey she could find, which is 10 pounds, which we just about, like, got most of the good, we got most of the good bits. The drumsticks and most of the breast were crushed. It was my parents, so it was one, two, my parents, me and my wife, our two kids, and a family friend, an auntie, if you will, and we managed to crush most of the best parts of the chicken. Keeping in mind that my parents like to eat like the neck and stuff. Moving on from there, came back. Once you come back from Thanksgiving, I feel like the world should just go ahead and slow down and stop with this insanity that we have in America, which is like overwork. In fact, you know, I've talked at length about the, so it was like great Christmas, talked about the New Year's and all that. So use this last minute to just say this thing. I think we should start enforcing shorter work week. Why? Well, one of our problems in this country is income inequality, and the income inequality is leading a lot of people into like extremism, whether it's right or left wing, whether it's Antifa or opioid addiction, whatever. There's like a serious problem with large segments of our country, and part of that problem is because America's a meritocracy. I really truly believe it's pretty close. It's as close. Maybe there's places that are more so, less aristocratic, nepotistic, but this is pretty close in the United States to as good as it can get. That is a problem. Like, wait, how is that a problem? Well, in any natural system, Pareto principle says that 80% gets done by 20%, which means 20% gets 80% of the goodies, as it were. Well, as you go up, it gets worse and worse and worse. Like 400 families in the United States or something own 64% of the wealth, right? That's what happens in meritocracy, because the best guy takes everything. There's this innate human, and it's not even greed. It's not like, there's some greed, obviously. You know, there's a huge difference between Steve Jobs and his partner, Wozniacki. Man, even, you know what, in Georgia, this is crazy. Even in the cold, there was like nonstop suburban small gas-powered engine noise. I can't wait till we transfer like completely, like when a, like a handheld battery will be able to power a weed whacker as well as gasoline. Because the sound, there's endless sound. I don't know if you can hear on the recording. Endless sound of small engines running during the day in the suburbs is sometimes like just, because you can hear them for like miles. It's worse in the winter. So in the summertime, the leaves block a lot of the sounds, quieter. In the winter, anyway, meritocracy. One guy gets everything, basically. It's like the king. You end up in the human hierarchy, that pyramid keeps going until there's one person. In certain circumstances, you want that. You want one guy to be in charge. Because sometimes there's like this diffusion of responsibility that leads to bad outcomes. But anyway, you end up with one dude owning everything. And so that's how nature works. And you don't want that. So, but why is this like this? It wasn't like this before. Income inequality is actually way worse now than it was in the 1950s. So if you were to say something like, man, we should go back to the 50s. People are like, shut up, man. Things are better now than they've ever been. In some ways. In others, they're worse. Now, overall, we can make an assessment that life's probably better for most people today than it was for most people in 1950, even in the United States. However, income inequality has gotten worse. So the CEO of a company makes like 100 times the average. I made that number up, some massive amount more, right? But it used to only be like 3 or 4 times as much. So what to do? Well, one of the reasons it's like that is because these highly capable people are really like work psychos. They're like, they're workaholics. They're addicted to the work, right? Much like someone get addicted to heroin or TV or Facebook. So what they do, or not, maybe they're addicted to the money, whatever. Like, I'm going to work for 10 years and I'm going to work like, you hear about the 80-hour work week. Ann Coulter talks about 120, 110-hour work weeks for lawyers. I don't know how true that is. I know, you know, when I worked at the bakery, this is BBU, family-friendly company, where no one was working. Really, dude, closing time, parking lot's empty. 45 minutes before opening time, parking lot's empty. Like, people tend to come in to be on time. So that was a 55-hour work week. Sorry, wait, hold on. That was a 45-hour work week just on the time they wanted you there. So official time of work was 8 to 5. But that was it. It was like, there was no, like, you can take an hour lunch or a half hour lunch. You just kind of did what you wanted, but like, work hours were 8 to 5. So 45-hour work week off the top. Almost never did you do less, and usually more. So for me, I was probably at the 50-hour mark most of the time. And I have to say that the 50-hour work week isn't so terrible. Marine Corps, same diff. It was 7:30 to 4:30, right? Official. But like, really, especially, I mean, my last fleet job that was in a squadron, I was showing up around 7 o'clock for the maintenance meeting. And I usually wasn't leaving until about 7 o'clock at night. My mechanics would go home and I would still be testing aircraft for months. So I was working 60-hour work weeks for like the last couple months. It was a workup. You tend to work extra. It's Marine Corps. It's a little different. You get extra time off to kind of makes up for it a little. But, yeah. So there's that, right? Most people work more. And these top guys are just like, you know, especially lawyers, do their billable hours. I bill $600 an hour. If I take an hour off, that costs me $600. If you don't come from a lot of money, that could skew your vision, right? So like, oh no, I suddenly make $600 an hour. I come from somewhere where like my dad made 50 maybe. Oh, like I can't not work for an hour. I better work like anytime I'm not doing anything else I really want to be doing. I'm not going to chill. I'm not just going to like hang out with my kids. It's going to be like, oh, if we're hanging out with the kids, it's going to be quality time. Blah, blah, blah. So we kind of need to stop that. I think if you stopped that, that would help. So mandated like maybe a 30-hour work. A lot of the problem too is like, hey man, I can hire this one guy. He's got a computer. He does a job of like three. You got to like make it so that guy can't. So like, and I don't mean like just hour limitations. They could do this. How are you going to enforce it? Oh, you can enforce it. You enforce all kinds of other dumb stuff. Like you're not allowed to talk about XYZ at work. Okay. Well now you're not allowed to work over 30 hours a week. Anything over has to be paid. You can make all kinds of rules and regulations, and all the publicly traded companies are going to do it. Some small businesses would chafe at this, but basically